This is an application for use of vacant land as a temporary overspill car park on land 25 metres west of the junction with Lugton Bray of Dalkeith Road, just the old Lugton Inn site, which you had a look at yesterday. And from the presence of vehicles, obviously members would be able to see that in fact it was a retrospective application because there's some development taking place there at the present time. Really, just to remind members, just into that the reasons for refusal under delegated powers were twofold: that the development has a significant detrimental impact on the character and appearance of this highly prominent site at the entrance to Dalkeith, located immediately adjacent to the S Bank and Iron Mills conservation area, and therefore the development does not comply with the terms of policies RP20 and RP22 of the adopted Midlothian local plan. And the second reason for refusal was that the development will have a significant adverse impact on road safety on a busy main road. Matters being considered as written representations for consideration and decision by the local review body. Chair. Thank you.
Councillor Milligan.
Yeah, Chair, thank you. I think one of the things that we should be doing, with any powers that we do have, is trying to encourage somebody to start redeveloping that site and bringing it into use. And I think actually giving consent for alternative uses is likely just to hinder that. I actually agree with the planners right down the line here with this. Irrespective of that, I think they've came to the right decision. It is one of the, we'll call it an iconic area, Dalkeith, just as you're coming into the Dalkeith town, which is an old historical town where this council spent millions of pounds supported by Historic Scotland to bring into decent conditions, and you can see the results of that whenever you walk through Bonnerig. I think giving somebody permission, and I understand quite clearly that there was car parking there, the curb was lowered, and if the hotel and that was there, but I think this is completely different. I think this is just either the site owner or somebody leasing the site to park vehicles in there, and the site already looks like an eyesore, and we should be trying to get the site moved on. The secondary part I looked at there is it was quite clear that these are damaged cars. One of the cars, the Volkswagen, well smashed at the front. And I think the last thing you're wanting is a row of half a dozen or ten smashed up cars all sitting in to welcome to Dalkeith sign. It doesn't really give the image I wouldn't think that we would be wanting. And when you take some of the other areas we're going to go today to talk about screening to keep stuff that isn't great to the visual eye, you would need a 6 metre wide band there, I think, before you could hide all that lot. So I'm quite happy to think that the planners have got a spot on here, and this appeal should be rejected.
I would like to second Derek on this, because this has been an eyesore for years now. Originally Dalkeith, and you're right, Derek, just up above it is Welcome to Historic Dalkeith, and you come to this. It's been demolished, but it must be the worst demolition job I've ever seen in my life. But before that, you had coming into Dalkeith for the south, you had the Unicorn, which was a public house, was shut down, all boarded up again, and I saw. And you come for the Musselbury side, you had 3 Musselbury Road, which was fell into dilapidation. That has now been, through the Townscape Heritage, that's now been restored. The Unicorn has now been demolished, and we were hoping that Lugton was going to be demolished, and it would look not too bad, but it's a mess. And if that's the owner of the site, really, it's no suitable for parking cars, for a car park. It should be getting redeveloped, and originally it was planned for houses. I think that's what should happen to that site.
Councillor Emery?
I mean, just one comment, though, Chairman. I don't actually accept the bit about road safety. And I'll tell you why I don't accept that, because our council actually just finished the works on that main road. It's just opened, as you well know, about a month ago. There was a drop curb actually being placed in there, and if you looked at it yesterday, it was actually obviously put in at the time when they were doing the resurfacing, etc. So I don't agree with that. Whereas I totally agree that we need to find a way and a means of getting this site redeveloped. It ain't maybe going to come right away. That's the problem that we've got. And I don't know what powers, Chairman, I think that's what I'm coming to the conclusion on. I don't know what powers we have as a planning authority to actually get the site tidied up a bit, because clearly it's not just the use thereof, which we all agree is residential, should be residential, and we've already given planning permission in two instances to that case, but of course nothing's happened. It's actually that the area is lying there at the moment the same as it's lain there for many, many years. And I just wonder if there's any powers that we have, if we were to support the application being turned down today, do we have any powers to take some sort of action to get the site cleared or tidied up?
Chair, under the planning legislation, there is the provision for an authority of local planning to serve a site improvement notice on a site. The condition of such a site to require a notice is would need to be pretty severe, and obviously members can take a view on that, and I think that's probably, I'm just looking across at the planning, the manager there would agree with that. Separate from your consideration of this application today, you would wish to highlight to the planning service that it should identify, at least look at that site in the context of whether a site improvement notice would be appropriate, then we can take that as an action from the local review body, irrespective of your decision on the application.
Does nobody else want to say anything? So we're supporting the planners, and we'll ask if you could please do what you can to get the site tidied up. Okay. We'll move now on to item 6C, Butlerfield.
Chairman, this report relates to a review submitted regarding the regrading of land and the use of the land for storage at land south of Units 2 and 4A, Butlerfield Industrial Estate. The proposed regrading works, which are part retrospective, comprise clearing the land and creating a level surface for storage with bunding and landscaping towards the perimeter. The land is to be used to store materials and equipment associated with the adjoining civil engineering business. A planning application for the proposed works and the change of use was refused on the 5th of March 2014. Excuse me. A copy of the decision notice and the officer's report are contained in today's papers, along with the applicant's review statement. The local review body carried out a site visit yesterday on the 2nd of June 2014, during which it was a challenge to orientate the areas already cleared in relation to the nearby buildings and remaining vegetation to assist in circulating an aerial photograph, which was taken in 2009, and I have edited the photograph to show the approximate areas cleared and the area to be cleared. The review is to proceed by written submissions in accordance with set procedures, and following today's decision, a decision notice will be issued and made available in an electronic case file.
Okay, Bob. Thanks, Chair. Yes, we visited this site yesterday, and we saw, I understand why it's been brought to our attention, indicating that from the visual amenity to be considered, but I think we saw lots of trees there which would give adequate screening. If you look at the colour map, colour picture that you referred to there just now, it seems a totally logical extension of what's already an industrial estate, and I would have no hesitation in recommending the appeal be granted. Russell?
Chairman, like Councillor Constable, I have to say that the value of going on a planning visit, on a site visit, is that if you read the report, you would have probably come to the conclusion that it was the wrong thing to do. I think being there yesterday, getting pointed out what's happening, seeing what has happened already, has helped to clarify the situation. I have to say that aerial pictorial view that we get that has been circulated around us certainly helps to clarify that. I have to say that, along with Councillor Constable, that right next door to it is already the industrial area anyway. And it just seems to me that there's adequate screening there. It may be that the committee, as we heard yesterday, the applicants are already talking about they'd be prepared to put some more planting in there, we could always make that a condition as well. But it just seems to me there's enough screening around there. It is, after all, an industrial site. It was an old coal bin, from what I understand, and it just seems to me an opportunity to bring something back that will be valuable in terms of an industrial site.
If I could just mention, it wasn't a coal mine, it was a coal bin. There's a slight difference.
I said coal bin.
You said bin. You said mine.
Bin.
Okay, I'll let you off. Ian.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'm going to disagree with my colleagues on this one. Looking at the plan, the aerial view which has been circulated, you can see there's quite a significant area of now becoming quite mature woodland. We're going to discover tomorrow at Performance Review and Scrutiny Committee that we have no plans for increasing the profile of biodiversity in Mid Lothian, which is much needed. And the fact that we're losing areas like this, which are clearly becoming the last few remaining pockets of biodiversity in Mid Lothian, I think we sorely need a new biodiversity officer. We can see the recommendation for refusal was against Mid Lothian local plan policy RP5, woodlands, trees and hedges, and RP7, the landscape character. I'm a bit concerned as well that this, I think, is, if I'm correct, is partly retrospective. Now, given that we've already lost a good bit of that area, I would be content to accept that what's done is done, and the area which has been cleared should be, we should accept that has been cleared for industrial use. But I'd be very, very concerned indeed if we were starting to lose pockets of woodland like this in Mid Lothian. As I said before, yes, we need development in Mid Lothian, but it has to be appropriate. And we've seen all too many situations in Mid Lothian where it's a case of develop, 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 and to hell with the consequences. I'm going to move to uphold the refusal.
Derek?
Yeah, Chair. I don't think we've actually seen many places in Mid Lothian where we've went to hell with the consequences. I think the hill in Mid Lothian has been reasonably well planned out with many areas of biodiversity included, including our schools and our play parks and our sports areas and that, that we've introduced biodiversity in areas all over the place. This is an unplanted area that's self-seeded. However, Ian quite rightly makes the point that it is there and it will be lost. I'm sure that if this council wants to, it can find ways to replace that in tenfold, that acreage. And I can imagine that for years to come, with a massive demand, never mind this, a massive demand on houses, we'll be looking to lose a lot more trees to build and all that, or else our young people won't look and get housed. And I'm going to refer to this, but if we didn't agree to stuff like this, then our young people will only can have jobs. Because quite frankly, or else that, they'll have to travel miles by car, bus or whatever to find these jobs, which will have an even worse effect and pollution terms. I think what I can see here, for what I listened yesterday, and we decided to go away for a walk and got lost. and ended up going the wrong road and ended up at the back of Neil, I think that's Neil Williams College. I'm thinking we were next to the main road. So didn't he ever send a suit scouting to bring him back, or you've had it? because I just could not get this out, and I've got to say this map today has been exceptionally helpful for us. I'm quite happy to go along with what seems to be the majority feeling that we grant consent and that a reasonable tree bell, and it's a pity this wasn't by way of presentation, because I can see the applicants here. I think we need to still have a reasonable tree belt rune to make sure that it's obscured as what it is. But the reality here is, this is an old mining area that was open, as you pointed out quite rightly, it was the Bing Noah pit or the pit, whatever kind. It was a big industrial area, it had big coal slag heaps flying about it, it had steam puffer trains empty area, and I think this will have a less adverse effect on the Midlothian area as to the way, for example, our bridges are being lifted by the Waverley Line builders, where they're putting that horrible stain on top of traditional bridges that are an absolute eyesore, and we seem to have nothing that we can do to make them actually do it properly. So I don't think this will not have an effect on the viability or the attraction to Midlothian. I take Ian's point quite rightly that it will lose wildlife. It loses an area where wildlife will be in. But when you went in it, there was in fair match tyres, mesh in the ground and what have you else there. So if this brings us into play, if it brings in jobs to Midlothian, it outweighs the reasons given. One of the areas that I did have serious concern on was the fact that there wasn't identified a suds area in here. However, after the report was done, there was a letter received from SEPA who are quite clearly withdrawing their objections and are happy that there isn't a requirement for that. So I think that takes that bit into account. I'm so quite happy for that. So I would quite happy to say that I'm going to be supporting, moving, seconding, whatever you want, that we grant this application with a small tree belt around just to make sure the area is protected. I'll probably finish with this. Having met the applicants accompanied by a planning officer, it seemed clear to me that some interaction and meetings between planning and the company might have stopped this from coming here. Because I think all around, if we're talking to the officer, they were quite happy with what was actually being proposed. It was the detail that was actually that they were getting stuck on, and I think it's helpful for that. Companies are trying to keep costs down, and if they've got experts in house to be able to do these drawings and to do these plans, quite rightly they should be using them, but then they didn't then have that expertise to watch for the pre-application stuff. And I think quite rightly Kingsley Drinkwater made the point, and I've heard it made a couple of times to people, that you do have pre-application status where you can come in free of charge at no cost to the council and now talk to them. I think the higher we widen that and the more we publicise that, the better, because anything we can do to reduce cost to business and encourage business to locate and expand in Midlothian, we should be grabbing with both hands.
Just brief, because it's basically all been said. Unfortunately, it's like an overgrown wasteland, which the trees that's there now. But Ian, go along to Sherry Hall of the Park and Ride if you want to see diversity with the trees, because actually all the new trees that were planted, and they're online like a battalion of the Scots Guards, all standing in a line, and now that they're all green, and every time I pass it now, I say it's looking really impressive, and that was done by, again, through the planners insisting that that type of greenery was reinstated into the airport before it was just wasteland.
Is there anybody seconding Ian's proposal to support that planners? Right, well, that's we're going against you.
Yeah, Chair, again, just to note, there are draft conditions on page 238 and 239, primarily landscaping conditions, just to make sure you get that tree belt, if that's okay.
We'll move now on to item 6C. 6D, Hillhead Winery.
Yeah. Thank you, Chairman. This report relates to details regarding the replacement of timber windows with UPVC windows in the front and side elevation of 14 Hillhead, Brimino, Laswade. Planning permission has previously been granted for replacement windows to the rear of the property, but this application is just for the front and the side. The site sits within the Brimino Conservation Area, and planning application for the replacement windows was refused on the 7th of April 2014. Again, a copy of the decision notice, officer's report, and the applicant's review statement is in your papers. Again, the site visit was carried out yesterday. The application to be determined by written submissions, and again, the decision will be issued through the chair and made available on the electronic case file.
Derek,
before I actually go into this, some time back we had an application in front of us for a retrospective consent up Vogra Way, I can't quite Jurton, where although I voted against, overwhelmingly the application was granted consent, and at that time we talked about how far on UPVC windows had came for the time in which we had brought in our policies. And I think, if my memory serves me right, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we called for a review to that policy to look to see whether or no we might have window types or window makes that we might find now acceptable, because at that time one of the arguments made, and I can't mind by whom, I think it might have been Brian Pottinger and Lisa Beattie, but I can't mind exactly whom, is that when you arrived there you couldn't tell that there were UPVC windows, and that's why that people voted, which in my mind in a state that the committee was clearly against. I think the planners had got it spot on. 100% were right on that. However, it was overturned because people thought, well, this is acceptable, and that's quite okay. And it says, if we do think that there are stuff out there that's acceptable, and I did say at the time we need to be sitting down and rewriting our policy to make sure that people are aware of what might be acceptable and what isn't. To come back to the review that's here, it was noticeable, and again I'll stand corrected if I'm wrong, that the lower end the house already had UPVC windows in that looked like wood sash and case to me. And I know Russell and several others went up to have quite a closer look, but I thought, well, the plan here is on looking at them from where you're standing. It's supposed to be off the cutlage of the building. And if you couldn't see it while standing in the garden, then you obviously wouldn't. And again, I understand tote windows there as you're walking past. There's a chance they'll be seen. And I'm one that always does jump up and down about the conservation area. Should be the conservation area. Didn't call it a conservation area and then didn't conserve it. But if there's something there that's going to conserve it, and I've got to say from my point of view, the windows at the bottom look reasonably acceptable to me to put in at the top. So my mind, and I'm quite happy to listen to what other folk have got to say here, to my mind here, I think this was acceptable, but just maybe if the planning manager would say, if we have moved anything on to look into review what we see is now acceptable and we UPVC against sash and case windows.
Yes, Chair, I remember the case in question, and we have been looking around excuse me. We have been looking around different parts of the district to see, in particular in conservation areas, where UPVC has been introduced and the impact of that is supporting maybe other UPVC in close proximity of those areas, but also trying to identify those areas which are still predominantly timber. So that piece of work is ongoing, and we have made progress with that. It's just turned out to be a lot larger piece of work than initially anticipated. It might be the best thing to do is maybe over the summer for me to draft a guidance note on windows and then come back to the planning committee with it and have a discussion about that point. Might be the best thing to do if that'd be helpful.
Chair, that would be exceptionally helpful, and I think it would be helpful as well if we could maybe go and see areas where planners think we've allowed UPVC and we shouldn't have, and where we've allowed PVC and people think, well, they were acceptable, and maybe somewhere where we could actually go and see an array of UPVC windows that planners were thinking might be acceptable, and again, some of the areas where, although I can't see it's been invited into a factory, if the planners are going to see, and this is what we're not wanting. But I think it's handy for laypersons like yourself to actually see stuff like that, because it gives us a better idea.
OK, Derek.
Yeah, Derek, you're right. I mean, I think one of them I can remember was Temple.
Yeah, that was
where I think, and I think, Derek, you made the point that if we allow this, and it was retrospective, because I think they were already in, they'd done them at the back, which I think was, say, they were at the front. And I think we thought that if it was all the way down that street, if you allow that one, you then end up, they're going to go right down Temple, the street. So I think that point, I think that one we did all, I think we agreed then, we refused that one. But yeah, I think there was mention that we were going to look at what is acceptable and what's not. And the ones I must admit yesterday, I think it was the bottom, looking at it, the bottom right-hand side was PVC, and it didn't look that much different than the one on the left, short of maybe a... The wooden one was a bit thicker, I think, at the bottom, but it didn't look too out of place, to be honest.
Russell?
Yeah, can I say right off that the policy I'm not in disagreement with, but I do think it needs to be brought into 2014, because I think things have moved on. And a lot of the UPVC used to get away back when was absolutely dire. And you'll see it yourself when you go around the county. It's not just in Midlothian, but other places as well, where you think, how the hang did they get away with that? And of course it is, because the salesperson that's selling the stuff doesn't give a hoot about what they're selling, as long as they get the sale. But I think in terms of the conservation area, it's all about conserving and enhancing the area. And I have to say that we looked at the quality of the particular window that had been fitted downstairs at the front end, before we went round the back, and in fact round the back as well, has already got them. And the quality is something that you could, you know, at first look, you probably, if you were walking along the street and you happened to be looking up, you would probably not even think twice that it was UPVC, because the way that it had been done. And I think it all comes down to that, Chairman, that, you know, if it was inferior, then I think we're right to stick to the policy and refuse it. But because the windows that are there look of a particular quality, to my mind, pass the test, then I think it's worthy of supporting, and I'm certainly coming down to the conclusion that we should support this. And I do agree that we look to get the policy reviewed. How easy it's going to be is the big question mark, because the one in Temple would have introduced for the first time, and it was a door becoming a window, if I remember correctly. You know, when's a door not a door? Was it whatever? Yes. But seriously, we refused that, and rightly so, because that would have been the introduction of UPVC within that street scape. Whereas the one up at Jurton, you actually had a semi-detached house, and in fact, you could argue that the one with UPVC looked actually better, because I remember us looking, what one are we here to see? The ones across the other side were dire. Yeah. And I have to say that, you know, and that's what we've got to be very careful about. So I'd be quite happy, you know, to take up and to get the planners to take up the Councillor Milligan's suggestion about getting in touch with some of the factories, because I've certainly been round, and it's a long, long time ago, when Pennycook Windows were there. And I mean, the council had, if I remember, had a contract for the replacement doors at one time for the council houses. And Pennycook Windows were very supportive of you coming in there and seeing what they were doing, the quality that they were producing. And I'm sure other ones would be, manufacturers would be quite happy to do that as well. So it's a good suggestion that you make, Councillor Milligan, because, you know, I think sometimes getting the message over to the manufacturers can actually maybe get the message over about what's acceptable.
I just think that if we allow this, then it opens the door for other people. So the quality would have to be right. So the argument wouldn't be then whether it's wooden or PVC, it's what quality the PVC is. But it doesn't look as though anybody's going to say that you're right. I'm sorry, Peter.
Chair, if the committee has, as you say, money to grant planning permission, because the drawings show that the design of the windows, there's no actually conditions to it.
Thank you, gentlemen.